Space Jam is the highest grossing basketball film of all time.
Welcome to Pocketoid!
Yeah!
My name is Jordan. I am a host on this show. And along with me is my co-host,
Addison / Crackety Jones.
And we're going to talk at you about video games that you can hold in your hand.
We're going to talk at you. We're going to talk in you. We're going to talk on you.
That should be our motto. Should be our tagline on our show.
That should just be our tagline for everything ever. On my first day of my last semester of college.
Yes.
After summer, when I introduce myself, I want to say, I'm Addison. I'm going to talk at you, in you, and on you. but I want to like lock eyes with one person in the room while I say it. And just stare at them. That reminds me, have I ever told you about my little game I like to play at work? Well, actually, I play it at a lot of places.
Is it a video game?
No, it's not a video game.
Let's just start off by talking about our games of the week.
This is my first game of the week that isn't a video game, though. Whenever parents come in with babies, and they, like, turn their back, and they have no way of having eye contact with me, but mm-hmm. I can still see the baby, I stare at the baby as hard as I can and make mean faces and just like just make the scariest face I can and just stare at the baby right in the eyes, like look into the baby's soul and I try to make the baby cry.
Does it ever work?
It's worked twice so far. Usually the baby just goes from like being happy and smiling to or sometimes from crying to just, like, confused. It was so funny today. This lady came with her baby and was looking at the books, and so she had her back to me, but her baby was, like, facing towards me, and I stared at it for, like, a good 3 minutes. And it got to the point where I'd never seen a baby do this. The baby started, like, trying to avoid eye contact with me. It was so funny.
Babies and then she, that though, like they love to look at you.
Yeah, this one didn't. And then she was checking out my line, and she was like crouched down getting something out of her purse or something, and I started staring at her baby again, and it just was like staring back at me with this like just kind of troubled look. And then as she was like coming back up from her purse, I like averted my eyes, and she looks at her baby and just goes, "Oh, are you just gonna you staring today? Staring at him?" And I just started laughing. I couldn't help myself. The lady was so confused. She was like, "Oh, I didn't." She's like, "I didn't think that was that funny." I was like, "No, it was pretty funny."
When I used to work at Target, and I would see a mom like get onto her kid, like stop playing with that or stop doing that, you're being annoying. I would look down at the kid and I'd be like, keep doing it. And I would always try and tell them to do stuff to like annoy their parents because it was like my way of like spiting the customer.
Yeah. I also, when kids run by, I go trip 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 trip. But surprisingly enough, I still haven't had anyone trip.
But when they do and crack their mouth open, you'll be there.
I'll laugh. I'll be there laughing so hard.
That's the best game ever. I'm going to play that game everywhere I go from now on.
It's a fun game. I have a feeling your wife won't like it, but it's a fun game.
Make the baby cry.
About half of my coworkers find the game disturbing, and then the other half just think it's hilarious. Like, there was a concert going on once, and this lady was just standing there watching the concert, but her baby was looking at me, and I was, like, just, like, yelling at the baby and, like, throwing up gang signs. Like, Wu-Tang! And, like, I was like, come at me, baby! Come at me! You don't want none of this! And, but that was, like, that was a tough-ass baby, though. That baby was, like, me mugging me right back.
Really?
I was like, yeah, I was like, come on, you want to go? I'll take you. And kick your ass, baby. Anyways, so games of the week.
Okay.
There's a lot. Because, as you guys know, both myself and Jordan are on summer break now. So we have a lot more free time to play video games and be useless.
Yeah. Try and hurry, though, so we can have lots of time to talk about predictions. Yeah.
I'll try to hurry, but you try to hurry. You're the one that takes forever. I know. Okay, so, first off and most importantly, Diablo 3. I have probably logged not that many hours. I don't know. Maybe 20 hours on Diablo 3.
So. Yeah, you've probably played 20 to over 20 hours. From what it seems like when you talk about Diablo 3, it seems like you're playing it like all the time.
I'm really not, though. My friends have played way more than me.
Really?
But, like, I still don't have a maxed out character.
Mm-hmm. Still? It's already been 2 weeks, Addison. You haven't maxed out a character yet?
I'm just joking. My Thai friend that we play with?
Yeah.
He has 2 maxed out characters.
Oh.
He's had 2 maxed out characters for, like, the past 6 days or something.
Good lord.
I don't think he's worked in 3 weeks.
Mm.
So
all the Diablo girlfriends.
I played a ton of Diablo 3. If you don't know what Diablo 3 is, I don't know why you're listening to a video game podcast. It's a loot fest, and it's fun, and you click a lot of stuff.
Yep.
It's like, it has a lot of MMO aspects and stuff, but at the same time, it takes away all the things that I hate about MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, the subscription fees and having to do a bunch of bullshit. But anyways, I'm loving Diablo 3. I've got a monk that I'm working on, and I have a pretty low-level demon hunter. I am going to make a wizard next. Anyways, so that's Diablo. I got the Binding of
Isaac. I wish I could play Diablo 3 really bad, but my computer just can't handle it.
That's okay. We'll play Torchlight 2 together.
Yeah.
I got the Binding of Isaac the other day whenever went on sale for $2. Oh. I bought it with the soundtrack, though, for $2.39.
It's still on sale for $2 for anybody thinking about getting it.
I don't know if it will be by the time this goes out.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The Binding of Isaac, that's a game I've been wanting to play for a while. Jordan, like, talks super highly of it. Mm-hmm. And I finally picked it up, and he was right to talk highly of it. It's a lot of fun. It's actually a lot more basic and simple and smaller in certain scales than I expected it to be.
Mm.
But that's almost kind of a good thing, especially for where I am with gaming right now.
Yeah.
It's just a nice kind of... a nice break game. Like, you can just sit down and play it for 15 minutes and be fine.
Mm-hmm. How far have you gotten so far? I mean, like, in one playthrough?
The farthest I've gotten in a playthrough was dying at the boss of the third stage.
Okay.
So, I've also only played it, like, 3 or 4 times, though.
But yeah.
I've played it enough to understand, you know, the mechanics of it and to mm-hmm. know that I really like it. I say 3 or 4 playthroughs, but I think my Steam time is an hour, so it's probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I think I have like 10 or... No, I think I probably have about 20 hours now, but...
Yeah. I'll probably pick up the expansion pack that came out today at some point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. They just released that expansion. I played a little bit of that today. It adds a ton of stuff. Like, I could immediately see all the stuff they added. It was pretty crazy. The only problem is that... I can only run it on my Windows side, and my Windows side runs the game really slow. So I don't know what I'm going to do. But
Let me look at my Steam games. I feel like there's another game I'm forgetting, maybe. I mean, other than I've played some League of Legends since last time I recorded, but when haven't I?
Yeah.
So then that brings me to, I guess, Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I picked that up on Tuesday, whenever it came out. There was actually a pretty good deal at Toys R Us, of all places, on the game, where I got it for $50 and got a free copy of the strategy guide.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the strategy guide has sat on a chair in my room, and that's all it's done, because it's a strategy guide.
For a first-person shooter, especially.
Yeah. I think it has, like, a code in there for a digital version, so I think I might just get the digital version and then sell the strategy guide at work for, like, a dollar. But seriously, I don't know why. I wish they would have just given me $20 off the game. But I'm really, really liking Ghost Recon. I've been waiting for my friend to get it before I go through the campaign very far. Mm-hmm. I think he got it today, actually. But I played the first mission of the campaign, and it was a lot of fun. It was really intense and really well done. And it really takes a lot from the Call of Duty games and the Battlefield games and previous Ghost Recon games, and just makes, like, the ultimate third-person shooter. Like, it's awesome. It's so much fun. I really, really like it.
I've heard it's way more strategic than most shooters, too.
Yeah, which is really nice. Except, I do have a few complaints, because I mostly got it for multiplayer, and so I've been playing some multiplayer. I was telling you I played a lot this weekend with Brad Nicholson. Used to be a Destructoid writer. He's now an editor over on Touch Arcade, host of the Electric Hydra. So I was playing with him, and we had a lot of server issues. The servers on the opening weekend have not been great.
That sucks. A
lot of studios seem to be having server issues, Blizzard. So that kind of sucks. And then when I'm not playing with people I know, about 60 to 70% of the time, I end up with, like, teammates that are, I mean, it's not the game's fault, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that a bunch of douche holes play video games. But I'll just end up with people that just, like, make fun of their own teammates and just trash talk the entire time and, like, won't communicate at all. So I'm stuck here playing this strategic third-person shooter where I can't get in any words because the other guy won't shut up. So I can't tell people, oh, hey, there's a guy over here. We should flank on this position. And so that can be kind of annoying. That's not
imagine
really their
that's
fault.
What it's like.
But
it's like you talk strategic online game. It's like that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, well, playing it on Xbox Live isn't going to be that fun.
Yeah, but playing it with, you know, my friends, it's a lot of fun. Really, really like it. The whole gunsmith thing, like, there's so much you can customize about your gun and your character. And but then Ubisoft had to come in and put their stupid Uplay into the game, and I hate that so much. Mm. It's awful. I feel really dumb talking about all these games that aren't portable on a portable gaming podcast.
Whatever.
I really need to work on that, but there's just so many video games, and most of the video games I want to play right now aren't portable.
Yeah.
Also, I wish this next game would get ported to the 3DS, because that would be awesome. I used some of my Microsoft points and bought Tempura of the Dead. And this game is amazing. If you don't know what it is, basically, it's like a retro-style action platformer where you switch between playing as President Obama and a samurai.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You're seriously playing as President Obama?
They don't actually come out and say it's Obama, but it's Obama. Like, you can tell. So, Obama has machine guns, and the samurai obviously has a sword. So you can press a button to switch between characters on the fly, and the game is set during this, like, zombie apocalypse, and you're trying to, you know, save the world. Like, the way the story unfolds is, like, you just see Obama in the White House, and they're talking about, oh no, there's a zombie apocalypse, what are you gonna do, Obama? And he, like, looks out his window and sees a samurai, like, like, out on the street, just, like, fighting zombies, and he's like, hey, look at that samurai. We need to be more like him. We need to stand up and fight. And then so he, like, grabs a machine gun and goes out there and, like, hey, samurai, can I help you? I don't have a sword. Is that okay? And he's like, oh, Bushido does not matter about the weapon. It's more of the fighting style. Let's kill all these zombies. And then so you go around, like, killing zombies, and there's, like, a different, like, little... not really hives. I don't know. They're just like these big mounds of zombie evil that you have to kill in each stage. Like, there'll be a certain amount that you have to kill. And you're just traveling across the country killing zombies. And you also to have like a, you have like a combo system where you're to free the zombie's soul, to save its soul, you have to juggle the head and turn it into tempura. So you have to, like, juggle it a certain amount of times before it becomes tempura and their soul is saved. So you're trying to do that constantly and just make it through the stage without dying, basically. And in between stages, you can buy power-ups and stuff for your characters. And I don't remember exactly how much the game is. It's not... like, it's $5 max. I think it's less than that. I think it's, like, two or three. It's whatever the stupid moon points are. Like, I think it's maybe 240 moon dollars. But it is a ton of fun. It's cool. It's pretty great.
I watched a video of it and it looked really awesome. As soon as I get or Xbox Live back, or an Xbox Live compatible Xbox, because my mine got hit by lightning, I will download that. So
I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet.
Also the music's so good too.
Cool.
So, that will conclude my games of the week.
Cool. Okay, on to my stuff. I'll try to make this fast, because I actually played quite a bit over the last few weeks. So, some friends came over to my house, and we played a bunch of different stuff. We played some multiplayer Run Saber for the Super Nintendo. That's really fun, and I'd never gotten to play it multiplayer before, but it's like really, really fun to play multiplayer, so... I need to do that. It's like a co-op Strider, kind of, which is awesome. And then I also bought a new Super Nintendo game called Cybernator, which if you've never heard of it before, it's also called Assault Suits Vulcan in Japan, I think. And it's a like mech simulator. So it's not really a sim because it's like a side-scrolling shooter. So imagine like a more exploration kind of based Contra, except with Gundams. And... it's pretty awesome, yeah. And your suits kind of actually control like robots. They're not like super fast. They're like bonk 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 as you walk around, and they you can like switch from your machine gun to like punching, which is fun because you just have this like giant fist come out of your sprite and punch the enemy. I like that. And what else have I been playing?
I want that game.
it's really cheap. You can find it for like $6, like $5 or $6, no problem. So what else have I been playing? I hooked up my Genesis recently because I got back some games from someone who was supposed to change the batteries so they could hold saves again, but that didn't end up working out. And I was going to play some Shining Force 2, but it won't hold a save. And I was like, dang it. But I bought a game called Light Crusader for my Genesis, which is an action RPG by Treasure. The guys who made, the guys who made the Astro Boy game and who made, like, Gunstar Heroes and stuff. It feels very Treasure-like, but it's not, you know, super crazy rotating sprites and explosions everywhere, but it's, like, very colorful. The music feels very Treasure. Different little things just kind of feel like a game that they would make. And it's not a perfect game, but it's a fun little, like, action RPG. It's very Western, too, which is weird for them. You'd think if they made an RPG, it would be... super Japanese, but it's really a kind of Western game, but I like it. I think I got it for like $4, so It was a good deal.
$4.
No, it's not bad.
I'd buy any treasure game for $4.
Yeah, seriously. When those guys came over, we also played some Kirby and a lot of Xenoblade, because I was kind of trying to convince them to buy Xenoblade. So I was super jealous of everyone getting to play Diablo 3, because I can't play it. My computer just can't handle it, and just barely. I can almost play it, but it can't. And so I loaded up some Torchlight this week, and I played a whole lot of Torchlight. Probably about, 5 or 10 hours of Torchlight just over the last few days. Because I was just... my wife got surgery for one thing, so we've just been sitting around the house for the last 3 days. And I played a whole lot of Torchlight, which satiated my need to point-and-click monsters until they explode into blood. But, what else? Oh! Big news! I found my Radiant Historia!
Oh, yeah! I laughed so hard when I got that text.
Yeah, most of you that have been listening know I lost my copy of Radiant Historia for the DS, and I was super sad and didn't want to play anything. And then I found it this week. My friend Rob texted me, and I was having a really bad day, and he texted me and was like, "Hey, I've got your copy of Radiant Historia in my dorm room." And I was just like, "Oh! This day just got so good." And so I got that back, and I played some of that. And it's awesome, and I'm going to beat it soon, I hope. But what else? I also started playing a while back, right after we recorded the last episode, I started playing Dragon Quest IX again, because I'm dumb, I guess. I don't know. I accidentally found what I think is the best armor in the game, though. Just randomly, I beat a boss and he dropped it. And I'm like, wait a second. Is this the best armor in the game? I think it is. But, so I've just been running around doing, like, the extra story quests that they have up for download, because I really want to finish, like, all the different story segments at least. Not all the side quests, but I'd like to get through the extra story quests that they sent out. So I downloaded that. What else? I believe that's it, except for a few games I have to review. But I believe that was all just the stuff that I played for fun. Oh, no, there's one more. There's one more. I was trying not to forget this one. Monster World 4 is a game that I downloaded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So right now this game is out on the 360 and on the Wii. It is $9 on the Wii, but it's been out for like 3 weeks on the Wii, but now it's only $5 on the 360. And
that's stupid.
Yeah, it's... But I mean, you know, that's originally Genesis games are $8, but then if you import a game on Virtual Console, it's $9. So, but I don't care. I play my Wii more anyway, and it has a better D-pad than my 360. But anyway, so Monster World 4 is, if you ever heard of any of the Monster World games or Wonder Boy games, it's the last in that series. So there's you've got different ones. Like for the Genesis, there's like Wonder Boy and Monster World, and there's some on the Master System and different stuff like Dragon's Curse. And basically, they all amount to kind of Metroidvania-style side-scrolling RPGs is kind of what they are. They're very exploration-based. They have lots of puzzles. But they're also, like, they also have, like, equipment and stats. And the combat's, like, very action-y and platformy and all those different things. This one's much more linear. And there aren't, like, multiple types of weapons. There's just, like, you got a sword and a shield. But what it is it's a Japan-only Genesis game that never came out in America. But Sega just decided to translate it to English and release it overseas for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But
of
I
all
am,
the games.
All the games.
Just randomly.
Yeah. But I am really freaking glad that they did, because it is probably one of the best Genesis games I've played. I think it's probably in my top 10 Genesis games at this point. It's really colorful. The music's amazing. Like, you would think it's a Super Nintendo game, not a Genesis game. Like, it looks really good. The puzzles are really fun. The music and the graphics are probably my favorite part, though, just all the aesthetics. But it's just, it kind of has this Arabian setting, and you play, the main character's like a girl, and you get this little, eventually, like, after the first kind of stage or whatever, you get this little creature, and he's like a floating little blue bunny without any arms, just flies with his ears or something like that. But you can make him do whatever you want, basically. So you can call him to you, and then when you jump, you'll like float, you know, Zelda cuckoo style. And you can throw him into lava and then jump on top of him. You can use him to like block falling fire from the ceiling. You do all kinds of stuff and use him to like solve all these different puzzles. It's really cool. Hmm. And I don't know, it's just a really fun, really, it's kind of linear, but it's has a good moderate difficulty level. It's really accessible, and I think anyone that's into side-scrolling games really needs to pick up a copy of it, whether you have a Wii or a 360, especially because it's only $5 on the 360, and I think it's awesome.
As soon as I get some more points, I'm buying that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool, and I don't know, I'm really digging it. I also just kind of bought it and having no idea what it was, and just sort of going off the idea of, oh wow, Sega translated a game from Japan and just brought it over here. So I guess, yeah. I mean, that never happens. Like,
I know.
It's something like, I wish people would do, though. Like,
me too. And it's not like there was really any hype behind it or any, not much press behind it or anything. There's like, oh, hey, we did this. Buy it if you want, I guess.
Yep. Can you imagine like if Square Enix did that with all the Super Nintendo RPGs they never released? Like, if they officially translated Seiken Densetsu 3 and released it on the 360 or the Wii, like, they would make so much money, and it'd be so easy to do. I don't understand why more companies don't do that, especially that have these games that fans have wanted for years and years and years just sitting overseas. But I don't know, I barely knew anything about this game going into it, and it's immediately become one of my favorite Genesis games. So, also, one really cool thing about it is the end of the game, you would end up like talking to this genie guy, and the very last line of the game is, "This concludes the Monster World series. Thank you for all your hard work and love. Now go outside and play." That's what it used to say at the end. And they changed it to, "This is the conclusion of the Monster World series, or is it ... So I think they might have translated the last one because they might be working
on a new one that's going to come out here.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. So, but plus, I mean, you never really heard anything about the Monster World series until this console generation with all the virtual console releases and stuff. I think that it's probably built up like more of a fan base than it had in the past, but they're pretty cool games. You should check them out if you can. So,
I really, really want that now.
Yeah, it's a great, great game. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do my reviews that I have.
Okay.
And then we can get started on our predictions. So, lately there's been some good stuff coming out on the 3DS Virtual Console. There's been a few games come out. Two games come out, actually. But I have three to review. So, the two that have come out are Kirby's Block Ball and Game & Watch Gallery 2. So, I'm just going to run through these real quick. But I also have the first Game & Watch Gallery, because I was going to get the second one, and I thought, you know, what the heck? I heard a lot of good things about the first one, so I'll go ahead and pick it up. And I did. So first of all, we'll go ahead and cover Game & Watch Gallery 1. So if you don't know what Game & Watch is, it was Nintendo's first portable console, and they were basically these like Tiger Electronics, you know, LCD games that were really simplistic, but were really actually pretty fun for whatever reason, unlike Tiger Electronics games.
Ugh.
But,
those are the worst.
Yeah, those were the flipping worst. But, so basically what this Game & Watch Gallery is like a collection of a bunch of these Game & Watch games that came out, you know, back in the day before the Game Boy was around. And they're really simplistic. I mean, they really only, like, for instance, the first Game & Watch Gallery comes with four games. So you got Manhole, Fire, Octopus, and Oil Panic. And I'm not going to go really in-depth to each one, but the real winners here, the ones I like to play a lot, are Manhole. I like to play Oil Panic. And Fire is pretty fun, too. Octopus is okay, but not that fun. But so what they are is these, like, we'll talk about, for instance, Manhole. So you've got this dude, and you'll have dudes come in trying to walk over these manholes, and your goal is to make sure that they get to the other side. So you'll have to, they're walking over a bridge, and you have to put a manhole up to make sure they don't fall down into the water. And that's basically your whole job. And, you know, it keeps going, and there keeps becoming like more and more men trying to walk across, and you're trying to like fill in the holes and the bridge. What's up?
Why don't they step over the manhole or go around?
Shut up.
Why don't they just go around, man?
I don't know, man. It's a bridge. They can't go around.
Well, just step over it. Manholes aren't that big.
Listen, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to do something to your manhole.
Oh! Promise?
A promise.
Oh, okay. There's a game on sale called Snuggle Truck.
What is this? That sounds amazing. Anyway, so you've got like these different games, and they're really simplistic. Like all you do in this game is these dudes try and walk across the bridge, and you have to fill in the gaps to make sure they can get to the other side. And as it goes, you know, you rack up a score, and more guys start coming, and it gets crazier and crazier until eventually someone dies, and you know, whatever your high score is, that's it. So it's got four of these games, and you've got the classic versions, which are each, you know, really simplistic and just consist of beeps and boops as sound. But then you also have the modern versions, which are all made up of Mario characters and kind of have twists on the whole thing. So like in Manhole, the modern version will have different Mario characters that try and walk across, and some of them go at different speeds, and some of them are different weights, so they can fall down faster before you can catch them. And there's all kinds of different little variables thrown in there. And so it's really cool because, I mean, essentially what it is four really basic, you know, really like kind of short score-based games and you've got a modern version and a classic version of each, which is pretty cool. So, and I think the game's only like, I think it's $3, which is a really good deal for all these. They're all pretty fun. So I would totally recommend Game & Watch Gallery. I would probably give it a 7.5, but I mean, for $3, you really can't go wrong, especially with, you know, four different games. The next one I'm going to review is Game & Watch Gallery 2, which is kind of the same thing. You've got, I think there's six games in all. Yeah, you've got Parachute, Helmet, Chef, Vermin, and Donkey Kong, and Ball. And
Ball.
Ball, yeah. If you ever owned a Game Boy camera, you've played Ball before. So Game & Watch Gallery 2 is more of the same, except it has a lot of like unlockables and stuff added in there as well, and it's also a Game Boy Color game. And there's, you know, six games instead of four this time. And it's only, I think it's only $4. And I kind of like the games in the first Game & Watch Gallery better, but there's more of them in this game. So I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 7.5 as well, just because even though there's more games, I like the games in the first Game & Watch Gallery better. Once again, it's more the same. You got modern versions and classic versions of each game. And yeah, it's like super fun. They're all score-based. And if you like really simplistic, fun little, you know, time distractions, this is totally up your alley. I managed to play, like, the whole time my wife was in surgery for like 2 or 3 hours, I managed to play like both of these collections the whole time. You can just sit there like wasting time and not even realize like how much time is going by on each of these. And the last review I have, which I've been wanting to get to for a long, long time, is Kirby's Block Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've never heard of Kirby's Block Ball, it is a breakout clone. So, you know, a game like WizOrb or Breakout or Arkanoid or something, where you've got a paddle at the bottom of the screen and you've got a ball and you bounce the ball and hit the blocks and the blocks shatter, you know, the drill. So it's a breakout clone, but it has a lot of cute little cool twists because it's also a Kirby game. So in this game, the ball is Kirby that you're bouncing around. And if you hit the A button right as the ball hits the paddle, it will turn into big old fat Kirby, and he will bounce all around, and he's way more destructive. And if he hits spikes in that form, then he won't die. But after a little short amount of time, like 1 or 2 seconds, he'll go back to a regular little ball, and then he can die. But another thing that's pretty cool is this game has like some of the different power-ups from Kirby. So you can get like electric Kirby, and then you can activate it by, you know, hitting the A button when he hits the paddle. Or you can get like bomb Kirby, and whenever you get that, it blows up like a bunch of indestructible blocks. And yeah, so there's lots of different little power-ups you can get. There's also like a boss fight at the end of each stage, and I think there's 8 stages in all, but each one's pretty short. But they get pretty challenging after a while too, so they may take you a while. One thing that's kind of annoying is I think when you lose all your lives, you go back to the beginning of the whole stage, which each stage consists of, I think, like maybe like 5 or 6 rooms. So it's like if you're on the boss and you die, you have to go to the very beginning and get through all five or six of those rooms before you get to the boss again, which can be really, really irritating. But, I mean, that's only happened to me a couple times, but maybe in the later stages that might get annoying. There's also, like every Kirby game, there's, like, a bunch of little bonus stages you can use to get, like, extra lives. There's, like, one that's, like, an air hockey game. There's one that's, I don't know, where you have to, like, you know, paddle the stars but not the bombs, you know, that kind of stuff. So basically it's Breakout with Kirby, and it's really, really fun, and it's also only $3, so it's a really, really good game. I have a lot of nostalgia for this game because I used to play it a lot when I was a kid, but nostalgia aside, I would give the game an 8, probably just an 8. It's I mean, it is a Breakout clone, and there's a lot of them out there, and it's a good one, but I mean, it is still just Breakout. So if it sounds like something you'd be into, though, you should pick it up. It's really cheap, and it's a really fun game. Probably one of the better virtual console games out there, so at least until Kirby's Dream Land 2 comes out. All right, and that's all the reviews I have for you.
We did it. Let's get all the PSP stuff out of the way. Sly Cooper Thieves in Time coming to the PS Vita.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a multi-platform release, so it's coming out for the PS3 and the Vita.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think even if I had a Vita, I think I would only buy it for PS3. But
let me tell you my favorite Vita story this week.
Oh, jeez.
Wizorb is coming to the Vita.
Oh, I did see that. That's pretty awesome.
And PSP. That is pretty awesome, but I'm also sad that it's not coming to the 3DS, because I would love to own it on there. A PSP or Vita.
Metal Gear Solid HD Collection hits Vita on June 12th. That's so there's awesome. Something you can actually do with your Vita. Vita gets access to some more PSP games and minis. nothing too exciting there. You got Valhalla Knights 2, Battle Stance, and how do you pronounce this? Wise 1 and 2?
Ease.
Ease, whatever.
Ease 1 and 2. It's also coming to Steam as well, I think.
Meh.
I don't really like those games that much.
Hey, that's all the PSP news, basically.
Yay! Did you see Jim Sterling's Resistance PS Vita review today?
I didn't actually look at it. I just saw some tweets where he was like, seriously, guys, don't buy that.
Yeah, he gave it a 2.0.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's almost like, as bad as a Spirit sucks. Camera.
Didn't yeah.
Spirit Camera like a 1?
I think he gave it a 1. Yeah. That game looked awful, though. Good night, that game looked bad.
Oh, man. I totally forgot that this is out, and I haven't downloaded it yet. But
what?
There is... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's some free DLC out for my Switch Force.
Oh, yeah, there is. I haven't downloaded that either because I don't have space for it yet.
Yeah, so add some more levels here. My Switch Force game for free, which is
also,
totally
awesome.
It also
enhances awesome. The 3D and some other stuff, too.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that, like, they...
That after this.
I think they took some of the sprites, like the sprite layers and like the parallax scrolling and stuff. I think that they like added 3D to more layers or something like that, so... Pretty awesome.
I don't
it's
know how.
It's a huge flipping download. It's like 1,800 blocks, though.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I didn't have room for it because of my music on my 3DS, but I'm going to delete all my music and download it. So.
I'm pretty sure I have room for it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed this story. Apparently, there's a rumor that there's going to be a Fooly Cooly game for the Wii U and 3DS.
What?
I don't even know how that would really work.
Yeah, how would you make a game out of that?
I don't know, but if that's true, it could be interesting.
I'm picturing a side-scrolling shooter where you play music on your guitar and whack things.
I play it.
Like a Sin and Punishment-style shooter with like melee attacks with your guitar. That'd be awesome.
Another 3DS news. Looks like I'm probably going to buy Rayman Origins again, since that's finally coming out on the 3DS on June 5th.
Do not buy that for the 3DS.
Why?
That's something else I forgot to mention. I played the Rayman Origins demo for the 3DS,
and
it is bad.
what's bad about it? I love 61.
The 3D is awful, for one. The 3D is really bad. And also... the like the way it looks, they haven't changed the aspect ratio at all. So it's that HD widescreen just slapped on the 3DS. And so Rayman looks like super tiny, like way, way too tiny. You can't even tell what's happening. Yeah. So it is very disappointing because that's the console I was probably going to buy the game on. But now I'm like, oh, well, at least I waited and it'll only be like $20 for me now.
Yeah, I was going to say, good news, you can easily buy the 360 one for $20. And it's a super great game and looks gorgeous.
Yeah. So don't get that game for your 3DS. Go play the demo if you don't believe me. I don't think there's anything else big, really, so let's just get going.
We have a short, quick little Pokemon update. Beep, 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 Pokemon update. Those two Pokemon applications that have been announced in Japan a while back have been confirmed for American release, but I don't think anybody's really worried about that.
Oh, yeah. True that. What else?
So, Pokemon update.
Non-Pokemon update. I also saw today that somebody was all like, I have an inside source that Monster Hunter 3GS isn't coming to the U.S., and then Capcom replied to that tweet, like, we'd like to see where your source comes from.
No.
So, yeah. Huh. So, some people were like, why would they even care about that if they probably weren't bringing that to the U.S.? So, that'd be really cool. I'm interested to see what's going to happen at E3. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a win-win for them. You know, there's not too many, like, big games for the 3DS that hardcore gamers are into. And so I'd really like to... I bet they'll probably bring it. I don't see much reason for them not to. Especially when they've already translated the game once before. All right, I believe that's all the news we got. E3 time!
Oh, shit.
Dude, let me tell you something really interesting. Our E3 predictions episode was our first episode ever, which means...
This is like an anniversary.
Yeah. This is one year.
We're on episode 23.
That means we only missed like what? Like 30?
A lot. A lot of weeks. A whole lot of weeks.
A lot of weeks. But whatever. We also went bi-weekly in there somewhere and then missed weeks some more.
So many weeks.
It's okay. It works out. Listen to us. Okay, Addison, so let's do this categorically. What do you think... What are some of your E3 predictions for the PlayStation Vita?
Oh, man.
Or Sony's press conference in general.
I think it'd be kind of funny if they just completely ignored the Vita and they like didn't even say anything about it at all. And like
that would be par for the course.
They just like... didn't talk about it. What if they like announced games for the PSP, but not the PS Vita?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be so funny. I don't know. I don't know how likely it is, but it'd be really interesting, and it would definitely catch my attention if they announced a new original Metal Gear Solid game for the Vita, which I guess isn't really that far off, since there was like two or three original Metal Gear Solid games on the PSP.
And I mean, the first Metal Gear Solid PSP game, Metal Gear Acid, came out within the first few months of the PSP being out, so
yeah,
that's too far off. But
also, Metal Gear Acid's awful. That game's bad.
Is it? I never played it.
It's real bad. It sucks. They made a sequel to it for some reason. But I also think that we'll probably see a really big, exciting... exclusive original title for the Vita.
Yeah.
I have no idea who it'll be from or what it'll be, but I think that's... I mean, the Vita really needs some killer apps right now.
Yeah.
They should definitely have a section where they talk about Last Guardian and Ni No Kuni.
Mm-hmm.
They should really talk at least a little bit about both of those.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably get some firmware updates in the next 6 months or so. Probably get some of those.
Definitely. I would love to see something from them that says, hey, now you can just buy PlayStation 1 games for your Vita. No big deal.
Yeah. They're going to totally show off a bunch of the Sony Super All-Star Punch Guys game.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will.
And I think it would be great if they just laughed at themselves with that game and had like a item or something, or like something like an assist trophy where it would be a firmware update. And, like, it would just, like, cover up the screen for a little while it, like, installed or something. I think that'd be great. That'd I think awesome. People would really respect them for doing that. But they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
So that's... I think that's pretty much all the
stuff I can think of. Games? That's what we need from their conference. Games. Lots of games.
We do need games.
Hey, look at this PlayStation Vita that you really flipping need because it has all these games that you really want.
Maybe we'll get like a short little teaser trailer for a new Jak and Daxter game.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because, I mean, I think they're getting fairly close to being done with The Last of Us.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll go back to their roots. Yeah. Or, well, I don't really think it's technically their roots. I guess, because didn't they also make Crash Bandicoot? Aren't those the same? Isn't that the same team?
I have no idea. I've never been a fan of either of those games.
Maybe I just sound really stupid now. I need to look this up.
Anyway, so Nintendo stuff we'll move on to. Well, first let's talk about Microsoft. Do you think there'll be anything portable related with Microsoft?
I don't at all.
No. I don't understand why.
A lot of people want them to, but I don't think they will. I think if they were going to do something like that, I think it would be on a phone. I think it'd be on one of their Windows 7 phones.
Definitely. Well, I mean, do you think that they might talk about that? I mean, because they have this whole new Windows operating system coming out for mobile phones. I mean, do you think they could try and compete with Apple and say, like, hey, this is going to be a real, like, gaming thing?
I don't think they will.
Yeah, well.
Also, real quick, I was right. Yeah. Naughty Dog, the creators of Jak and Daxter, also did Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
So, I guess getting back to their roots would be Crash Bandicoot.
Mm-hmm.
They had some random-ass games before that, too, but...
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to Nintendo then.
I accidentally went back to that. I keep accidentally clicking on that GIF.
The thing I want to say about Nintendo is I'm sure this year is going to be very, very Wii U focused. I'm sure it is. I can't believe that's the final name they're going with.
I thought you said Weeaboo for a second.
Yeah, it's going to be very Weeaboo focused.
Hey, guys. We're going to have 50 Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, and Tenchi Muyo games, and Rurouni Kenshin games, Inuyasha games.
Rurouni Kenshin's not... Well, that's pretty weeaboo.
What Nintendo needs to do... What I'm really hoping for at this conference is a repeat of what we saw like 2 years ago with their conference, just with like Wii U games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
where they're just like bombard you with games.
I know, they were just like, "Hey, check this out!" Bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Oh, you're still thinking about that? Screw you! Here's another game. Screw you! Here's this game.
Stop thinking about that. It's done now. We're done with that.
That game's old. Here's this one.
Yeah.
I'm Reggie. I'm made of meat.
I'm really hoping that's what this year is going to be again, because that was so awesome, and they really need to be doing that. People are talking about how they really need to show off, like, the, you know, how the Wii U is going to be used and, you know, what the menu is going to look like. And I'm like, screw that. Who even cares about that? What they need to do is just be like, guys, look at all these games that you need to buy. And just throw all that out there. So, but I'm also equally hoping that they're going to show off some new 3DS stuff, because I was really disappointed with the 3DS stuff they showed last year, because they didn't really show anything new. They just kind of, I mean, they did show, like, you know, Luigi's Mansion 2, yeah, you know, and a couple other things. But they didn't really show anything they hadn't already revealed in the past. They just kind of were like, guys, look, Star Fox and Zelda and all these things we showed you last year. Pretty cool, right? And we were like, yeah, that's pretty cool, guys. So I'm really hoping that, you know, because I'm really hoping they're not just going to be like, guys, look, we got Paper Mario coming out and Animal Crossing. And how much did you guys love Mario Tennis Open? I mean...
No one's buying that game.
No one's buying that game. So, I don't know. I'm really hoping that they're gonna, you know, knock one out of the park. So, what do you think? What do you think they're actually gonna show, though? I mean...
I think, like last year, that there's going to be some sort of big digital release at, like, the time of the show. Mm. I've said this before. I really hope They're just like, hey guys, you can go download Pokemon Red and Blue right now. Do it. Or if, like, the world ends and, like, hell freezes over, they could be like, hey, check it out. You can go download Earthbound. But that's not going to happen. That won't happen.
They would make so much money. They would make so much money.
It'd be so many dollars.
Yeah. You're afraid of lawsuits from the Beatles.
What?
You don't know about that? That's the reason why it hasn't released.
Oh.
Earthbound, like, has a lot of, in the music in Earthbound, they ripped a lot of, like, different riffs from the Beatles and stuff. Like, kind of as a parody, because it's, like, supposed to be a parody of American culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, they, like, now Nintendo's afraid, like, oh, if we put this game out, yeah, we're going to be
well,
in big trouble.
What's the reasoning behind Mother 3, then?
What do you mean? Oh, well, they just don't think it has a very big audience. Plus, the Game Boy Advance has been dead for, like, 6 years.
Yeah, they just release a digital version on the 3DS eShop.
Why aren't they releasing Game Boy Advance games on the eShop at all?
I don't know. I think we'll see a lot of, like, 3DS eShop stuff. Because the eShop, yeah. I think, has done pretty well and made them some money.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that they're going to be... I think the eShop is going to be... I think they're starting to get very digitally focused. Because...
Yeah.
If anybody's got a library of stuff that they can release and just make bags of money off of it, it's, you know, it's Nintendo. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, we've got shelves full of million sellers that we made, you know, you made 25 years ago. Like, who else can do that? Like, it's just like, all we got to do is release this digitally and bam, like $3 million. No big deal.
Seriously.
So, I mean, I'm being a little sarcastic, but seriously.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not being that sarcastic. It's not that far off.
No.
Also, I think, I'd be kind of surprised if we didn't see some sort of connection, capabilities shown off, between the 3DS and the Wii U.
Yeah.
Also, the big obvious 3DS redesign that we'll probably see.
Yeah, maybe. I'm wondering if we will or not, but...
It's the 3DS has been out for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be kind of surprised if we don't see one.
Well, they also said, though, I mean, like, I know it's Nintendo, and they love to, you know, re-release the same console over and over again. I'm looking at you, Game Boy Micro. But, they also said that they put everything they basically possibly could into the original 3DS design. And I know that there is some things about it now that I'm sure they wish they would have changed, but I'm not sure if we'll ever see a 3DS redesign with twin analog sticks, you know. I think if we do see anything, it might be like, oh, a 3DS with, you know, a different kind of analog nub, or a 3DS with, you know, it won't be like a big redesign, it'll just be kind of a little redesign to, you know, the current model. I'm not sure if we'll see a 3DS Lite for a while, but we might. You never
know. I think it would be a 3DS that will be like... I think it would be a remodel that's a little smaller. I don't think it would be as a drastic difference between going from the original DS to the DS Lite.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be a little smaller, a little thinner, with a second analog stick built in.
Mm.
I'll be kind of surprised if we don't see that.
Yeah. My only thing is, like, you know, I'm not sure if they'll ever build the second analog stick in, because what about the people that own a DS or a 3DS that doesn't have a second analog stick? You know, they're kind of out of luck, so I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't think just because they're releasing a redesign means that they're going to start requiring every single game use the second analog stick.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Also, that second analog stick is kind of a bitch to find right now.
Yeah, it is.
No one has it.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to release more of those, though. I'll buy one someday. As soon as a first-person shooter with online capabilities comes out that I want, I'll buy one.
Yeah.
So, what was I going to say? Because I will want one for my 3DS. I do like to shoot people online, and, you know, it's it's nice to have that on the go. But really, we haven't been able to do that very well in the past, just because the DS wasn't really built for that. Oh, speaking of online games, I meant to ask you this. Are you thinking about getting Heroes of Ruin when it comes out, if it's any good?
Yeah, I think so. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Because, I mean, I can't play Diablo 3, but that game is super, super online enabled with, like, voice chat and everything. And just drop in, drop out online. So
If you get it, I would play with you every day.
I'll probably get it. I'll probably pick it up. I don't know if I'll get it right at launch, but I'm probably going to pick it up.
If it gets like 8s and 7s, I will definitely get it.
Yeah.
So, other things I think we'll see. Let's see. Well, I don't know. I'm just really hoping for a bunch more games. I'm sure that there's going to be... See, this is the thing. I mean, I know that they didn't show much last year, but, you know, games take time to develop. So I think that this year we'll definitely see some more stuff just because, yeah, last year they didn't have a ton of stuff to show off because they blew us out of the water 2 years before. Here's something that I've been wondering. So they did the Zelda anniversary last year, so they released, Link to the Past, bam, like, you know, day of E3. I'm wondering this year, since they're doing Kirby 20th anniversary, if they're not going to release Kirby's Dream Land 2 the day of E3.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd be super pumped about that. That's one of my favorite Kirby games, and it's like the one for the Game Boy that actually plays like a Kirby game, so that'd be awesome.
I'd rather have Pokemon.
Me too. I'm afraid, I'm just worried that it's just going to be like, I'm really nervous. I mean, last year, if you listen to our episode from last year, it's like, oh man, last year it was so awesome. This year is going to be so awesome. And this year, and then afterward, it was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it was, last year's E3 was so disappointing.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't embarrassing or anything. It was just, and all the shows were kind of like that. There was nothing really that blew me out of the water at all. But, I mean, with this show, I'm just hoping all the publishers this year blow me out of the water with something really cool and new. They don't need to announce a new console or any of that. I just want to see some new, awesome stuff. And, oh, something else I want to see from Nintendo. Like, they don't really have any more eShop games announced that they're developing. Like, they published Pushmo and Sakura Samurai and, you know, Quetzal's Corridors and Dylan's Rolling Western. But they haven't, you know, we have no idea what else they're planning on doing. So I bet they'll have like a trailer or at least a little segment where they, where they're like, hey guys, check out this eShop stuff that we're making.
Yeah. I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Hey, how about, portable Pikmin? That'd be kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I really like that.
Well, here's something. The next Smash Brothers is coming out for Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah, that was announced forever ago.
I know, but do you think that they're going to show,
that like, they'll show
actual
it?
No. Footage and stuff? You don't think they're going to show any actual footage?
No, because I'm pretty sure I read not that long ago that like Sakurai was only just now starting to develop it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. I just heard this on a podcast today that Sakurai didn't even know he was developing, that he was going to be doing Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and then what's-his-face from Nintendo, the other Asian guy who isn't Shigeru Miyamoto.
Iwata.
Iwata announced Super Smash Bros. Brawl and said, and we've got Sakurai developing Super Smash Bros. And he was like, what? Okay.
Dude, he's done that every time. They did that for Melee and Brawl.
Yeah, it sounds like, from what they were saying on it was on Podtoy, it sounds like he's tried to kind of distance himself a bit from Nintendo, but they keep like, they're like, no, you make all the good games, stay, please stay. And I guess that's like why they've been making such a big deal out of Kirby over the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
Because, I mean, like, the last two Kirby games were awesome, but I don't think they really sold that well.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, you gotta think about the fact that, like, they didn't even make, like, hardly any Kirby games in between, Dream Land 3 and Kirby 64. And then in the GameCube era, like, you just had a remake of Kirby's Adventure and then, like, that, whatever, Kirby's Mirror Balls that I don't like.
Balls.
So this generation, there's been tons of Kirby stuff, so maybe, yeah, that is it. I hear that Sakurai doesn't really like working on Kirby games, though, because he doesn't like making sequels. Like, I've heard him say before that I never really wanted to make sequels, but Nintendo.
Yeah.
They got that sweet, sweet Skrilla.
Dude, what about a Sakurai-developed Zelda?
I just want Sakurai to stay at Nintendo and make all kinds of games. I don't want him to always make Smash Bros. Or always make Kirby.
Yeah.
I want him to do some cool new stuff, because, like, I was really cool to see that he can come up with some really new, awesome ideas, like whenever I played Kid Icarus, and I was like, why is this guy making more stuff?
Well, I want him to always make Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I want him to make a game with robots.
I bet they'll show something from Smash Brothers. I mean, even if it's just...
a teaser.
Yeah, they'll show something. I mean, because that's their thing that gets everyone hyped.
Like, yeah.
Smash Brothers is the ultimate hype machine.
Yeah, that's
especially
true.
Especially for a new console. Like, I mean, think about it. The Wii came out, and all that anyone remembered from seeing from that convention was the Super Smash Brothers trailer. And it was just... I just remember, like, we were in high school, and I was at school, and everyone started talking about... whenever it came out that day, because we were still in class, everyone started talking about... oh my gosh, like, Smash Brothers just got announced a new one, and they showed a trailer, and then, like, all of us were trying to find computers at school to put the trailer on. But, so, I don't know. I feel like if they're going to show off the Wii U, if they really want to make people buy it, that's what they need to show off. I'm probably not going to get Smash Bros. On my 3DS as much as I love portable games above stuff. I don't know. It's also, like... Smash Bros. Is a party game. You play it with your friends.
I'm gonna buy it. It's not often that I will buy a game on like two systems, but
yeah,
I'm gonna buy the Wii U one and the 3DS one.
I might be doing that too.
There's no way I'm not buying a Smash Brothers game. That's like me not buying a Pokemon game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably end up buying it on both consoles, too.
Who am I? Dang, speaking of which, Pokemon Conquest is almost out, isn't it?
I don't think it's almost out.
It's definitely in June.
You're probably going to show off some stuff of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I want to see some proof that there's going to be cool third-party support for the Wii U, but I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, they showed a lot of third-party support, it seemed like, last year. We got a...
ooh, Ninja Gaiden 3!
Well, Colonial Marines, that looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does look awesome.
There's some really cool stuff for that.
This is my concern, though. I'm just afraid that it's going to be another Wii situation, and it's just going to be ports of games that came out this generation. Like, oh, yeah, now it's Skyrim, like... but you can poke Fusuro Da!
Yeah, that's true. Because they're like, hey, check it out, Darksiders 2.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Cause
and Batman Arkham City, you can buy that 3 years after it's been out.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I'm just really concerned about that. I know they're not going to show off the graphics capabilities. They're not going to give specs for it. They never do. I don't want to see that they're throwing out an N64 in the era of the PS2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I hope...
as long as it's Dreamcast capabilities in the era of the PS2, I'd be okay. But you know what I'm saying? You know the comparison I'm making? Because Dreamcast wasn't, like, as good as the PS2, but it could still hold its own. Like, I still would have
had a lot of good games, too.
Yeah.
As long as... I just want games, man.
All the games.
Just need games.
Make all the games.
I want to see some more Adventure Time stuff.
Oh! Dude, if they showed that at E3, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Adventure Time's pretty big right now, so mm-hmm. I'd be kind of surprised if we don't see some stuff from it.
It's also pretty just kind of, like, ingrained into video game culture, too, so...
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I bet they'll show something from it, maybe. But even if Nintendo doesn't show something from the stage, I'm sure that WayForward will show something on the show floor.
Yeah, dude, that... I'm so glad WayForward has that, because I like WayForward, and that game's probably going to make them a good amount of money.
Oh, yeah. WayForward is like what I want to happen to all my favorite like tiny developers on the DS.
But, well, is that pretty much our predictions?
I think so.
I feel also bad. We're so like biased for Nintendo. Like we talked about them so much more than we did Sony.
Yeah, it's true. Or Microsoft.
Well, that's just because we're focusing on handheld stuff, and I really don't think Microsoft is going to put out a handheld.
We are biased, but at the same time, like, Sony hasn't given me much reason right now to not be biased.
Yeah.
And when they do, like, you know, I don't own a Vita yet, so I don't have anything to, like, freak out about. But I don't want them to fail, because I love portable gaming, and I want it to be a good, healthy market with competition and everything else. So, I'm not.
Do you think?
I am biased, but I'm not a fanboy.
Yeah. Do you think the Wii U? You think that's going to come out this holiday?
Oh, definitely. I think it'll definitely come out in the fall, probably November.
Good thing I graduate in December. Gonna buy a Wii U with my graduation money. Gonna be irresponsible. Was it you that said something about like your E3 prediction was Reggie was gonna come out with a with a vitality sensor attached to his wiener?
I forgot about that.
I made a really.
He's gonna come out. He's gonna come out on stage with a vitality sensor attached to his wiener that's coming out of a Wii U controller.
He'll just
hanging from his penis.
He'll just go, hold on, let me check. And then he looks at the controller, the Wii U controller screen, and goes, yep, my body is ready.
You're coming to my E3 party, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah! Do we get any listener questions?
Oh, I remember where that prediction was. I put it on the show post. No, we don't have any listener questions.
You said that like why would you even expect that?
Because why would you even expect that? I predict Reggie will come out naked, announce Nintendo is going to become a fast food chain, and then proceed to throw badgers into the crowd. Also a new Mario or something.
Did you ever see that image of Nintendo with the bears, like at E3?
No.
Did you ever see? You should just Google that, Nintendo Bears E3.
All right.
See if it comes up. I think I saw that on Tumblr or something like that. It might have been from last year, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Why haven't we closed the show out?
Yeah, let's plug stuff really fast.
What the hell are we doing?
You can email us, pocketoid@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes.
Everyone emails us.
They can, though. You can... track us down on iTunes and give us a review or subscribe to us. Also, thank you to Nintendo Nick for leaving us a review. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's awesome. You're the best. Awesome. Love
yes.
you.
We will give you a shout out on the show, too, if you come and review on our iTunes page. Also, Addison will come to your house and give you a handy J.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, so...
Also, my mouth is my hand.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh gosh. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Jackal27, and you can find Addison on Twitter at
Addison_L.
And you can find us on Steam and all kinds of other stuff. Pocketoid on Twitter. Yeah. You can add us as 3DS friends if you want to.
I guess you can find us on Steam. I don't know why. Who's got whatever.
Dude, why come people don't like the new King Kong movie? Who do you hate that for?
A lot of people. Almost all of my friends hate that movie.
Why?
I don't know. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
there's dinosaurs in it.
It's not even that. Like, what reason is it they could argue getting that?
I don't know. They just say it's dumb and stuff. Breaking up so much. I think it's because of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Is it storming in Joplin?
Yeah.
Really? Like, really bad?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't have a window.
I hope it comes here. We never get any freaking rain, ever.
Good. We're keeping it. Mm. Screw your town. If it's one thing Joplin needs, it's more storms. It's been a year. I can make those jokes. Screw you. Somebody said that they're making it Joplin Tornado Museum, and... Somebody said that on Twitter, and I said, oh man, that'd be really funny if a tornado hit just that museum, and then they built another museum, and it was the Joplin Tornado Museum.
Oh man. Alright, let's close this thing out.
Alright.
Close this thing out. Alright, see you guys next week.
Okay, love you, bye.